Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from sunny Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I am so excited about today's show. I've got my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com, with us today, and we've got a really exciting guest. Hello, Miss Rhonda. Uh-oh, I guess I didn't unmute you properly. Let me go try again, Rhonda. I tried. Are you there now?
I'm here. Are you hearing me?
I am. That's really weird. It was red and said you were live even before I couldn't hear you. So that's really strange.
Yeah. Very bizarre. Yeah, and my computer blue screen, so I didn't get to unmute myself. But anyway.
Well, I had tried. So I think I have both you and our guest unmuted. I redid it to see if it worked any better. So do we have Lisa on with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, good, I can hear you.
Yay.
So let's let Rhonda go ahead and do her thing to get us started today.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm very, very excited about our show today. And we have with us somebody who, I mean, she's good at so many things, it's almost disgusting, to be honest. But she's one of those really talented people with some terrific skills and such a great heart, and I'm really, really, truly thrilled to have Lisa Preston with us. She is very good at teaching people and understanding communication styles, knowing what makes people tick, and definitely an expert in building business through the power of relationships. And one of her products is called Instant Niche Emails. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go through. And, she's done amazing things, including helping people get interns that can help you grow your business with a system around that, nothing that's haphazard. It's all put together. And she's helped work on book launches and all sorts of things. So, Lisa, I'm absolutely thrilled to have you here on our show today.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
We have wanted you here for a long time. So why don't we just jump right in and have you tell us a little bit of your story and how you got interested in relationship marketing.
Okay. Well, I just apologize off the cuff because here I'm working on overcoming a voice issue. So I've got a 32-ounce glass of liquid, a pile of cough drops, and a box of Kleenex.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you sound loud and clear, so that's good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, when I started online, I didn't have a clue how I wanted to make money. Initially, I thought I wanted to write homeschool curriculum. That lasted for a little bit. But I tried eBay and joint venture brokering and affiliate managing. And my goodness, I was buying wholesale and doing all kinds of things, and affiliate marketing, niche marketing, had, you know, 150 domain names, trying to build 150 websites. So finally, I was, my grandmother was my biggest cheerleader, and she kept saying, Lisa, you can do it, you can do it. I'd quit teaching and was taking care of her because she'd had a stroke. And she's just the eternal encourager for me. And so one day she was at a occupational therapist appointment. And I went in to be with her, and I got there actually at the end of the appointment. So I sat down on the bench with my grandmother, and the occupational therapist reached out her hands and grabbed my grandmother's hands in hers and just squeezed them. And I looked at my grandmother. She's 89 years old, okay, from the stroke. She's having to relearn how to walk and talk and use her hands. And my gran threw her head back with this beautiful laughter of confidence. And I could tell she was thinking, I can do this. I can come back. And I know this sounds a little woo-woo. I'm sitting beside my grandmother. Our arms are touching. But I felt like I was also above the situation, looking down on the occupational therapist and my grandmother and seeing a literal transfusion of hope, a transfer of hope from one set of hands to the next. And this moment became almost a living, breathing entity of its own. I could not stop thinking about it. I knew it held an answer for me in my quest to find a business online. And finally, it was about 48 hours later, it hit me. Oh, my gosh, this is what I want to be about. Back in, 2003, I don't think we had MySpace. The Internet was more ambiguous and anonymous. And if you ordered from a company, sometimes you just felt like a number, not a real person. And I thought, I want to stick my hands into cyberspace, grab the hands of another person, and transfer that hope to them, that same transfer that I saw in the rehab situation. And that just became my own heartbeat. And I thought, how can I relate to people online so that they know they're special to me, not just, thank you for the sale warmly, Lisa Preston. No, I just the sense from my heart more than that I truly cared about them. And so that's where my...
What an incredible story, Lisa.
I love that. Wow.
And I assume that had a very big impact on your business.
It did. Now, for a while, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. But a few months later, I had a thought of, writing emails is one of the best ways to connect with people. How could I help people relate to others really strongly and touch their hearts, stick their hands through cyberspace through an email, connect with another person, transfer hope, and then could I create something that would make this easy for people who maybe even didn't like to write. Better yet, what if you could push a button and have an entire year's worth of emails created from that heart space? Well, it seemed impossible, and as soon as it was. But I eventually came up with a little piece of software that did something akin to that, helped people write the kinds of emails that built relationship and trust.
Mm-hmm. And you're on the third version of that Instant Niche Emails project, aren't you?
Yes, and this is the funniest thing, y'all. The first two versions were software, and the third version was going to be software, but the more I played around with it, the more I realized that actually taking the software component out of it could save people about an hour and a half of time.
Wow.
And so it would cut down, maybe if a person, was going to take them 5 hours to create their year's worth of emails, it'd only be 3.5.
Ooh.
Odd, Software is supposed to make things easier.
That's really funny because I would have expected the opposite. Usually putting a tool in people's hands like a software is the thing that helps make the process easier, and it's just really intriguing to me that was actually the thing that slowed it down.
Yeah. I mean, it's still fast.
Well, even 5 hours is still 52 emails in 5 hours, I mean, that is so blazing. Even if you write emails pretty quickly, it's not going to happen in that amount of time on your own.
Right. Now Willie Crawford swears that he can do it in 2 hours. And I'm like, Willie, I can't do it in 2 hours, and I wrote the software.
Yeah.
He's just a genius. I don't know how that works, but...
Yes, well, he is pretty special. Well, that's really a cool story. And so you think about your business. Once you figured out that you really wanted to transfer hope and make a true heart connection with people, and doing that through the emails and through the way that you talk to them, things started to change. And how did that help you even more to clarify your direction? You know, what kind of other things have happened for you since then?
What a question. I'm still clarifying my direction, Rhonda. Right, Gina? There are so
many. But you're getting clearer and clearer every day, Lisa.
Exactly.
This is awesome.
So many things I love doing, but definitely relating and connecting is going to be a part of all, you know, any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I read in this book, How to Win Customers and Keep Them for Life, that 68% of people stop buying from a business because of, and this is a quote, an attitude of indifference toward the customer by the owner, manager, or some employee. What struck me by that was they don't stop buying because of somebody was rude to them or, well, I mean, they might, you know, but that's 2/3 of people stop buying because of indifference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all can do a turnaround with that. From indifference to connection, you can end up keeping 2/3 of the people who are buying from you. And, right, I mean, those are the people who are going to continue to buy typically your current base. So to establish that base as with a cemented foundation would be huge for anybody's profit margin.
Yeah, it just it quantifies the power of relationships in business, where if they don't feel like you're indifferent to them, how much that changes the nature of the transaction and improves that lifetime value of a customer that we talk about on the show.
Yes, yes. One of the things I try to do is I write a personal thank you note to anybody who purchases anything from me, whether it's a $17 product or $117 product. And when an order comes through, a lot of times, you know, I'll notice that the person's website is in there. So I'll go to that website, look around, and then in the email make a comment. You know, oh, I went to your website. I noticed this, this, and this. Or sometimes somebody, they won't have a website, but they've got an interesting name. And so I'll make a comment. You know, I've never heard that name before. It's very beautiful. Or I find out what country they're from. Okay. And I'll make a connection with that. For instance, I'll often tell my customers from Australia how my when I taught elementary school, that was the favorite unit to study. And that there's hundreds of children out there right now in America singing Waltzing Matilda because of me.
Too funny. I love that.
Now, some people don't like, you know, to do that. That's you certainly want to outsource, let customer service take care of that. But by doing that, by creating that connection, number one, it reduces refunds because if somebody has a question, they're not just going to say, oh, pooey, forget the whole transaction. They're going to come to you and ask the question. Another thing it does is just cement that connection and let somebody know, wow, if that person took the time to go to my website and look around, I'm not dealing with a faceless company here. I'm dealing with somebody who actually cares about who I am. Now, you may get an order from somebody who doesn't have a website in their order. You're not sure what country they're from, and they don't have an interesting name. So then what do you do? Well, you can just comment. You know, I hope you, your family, and your business are doing well. Anything that just shares your heart with somebody else makes a big difference, and it takes almost no time at all.
And even if you don't have time to do it with every single customer because your company is too big, at least make an effort to do it occasionally with a handful of customers, a couple times a week. So even if you do outsource the support part of it, stay connected to the customers in some way, shape, or form. I think that is so important, and it's one of the big things missing in the internet world today. You don't see that happen with many companies at all.
Right. And, you know, you can outsource it to somebody who has that gift of empathy.
And, oh, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Show them how to connect with people. I love doing that. I mean, that's one of my most favorite parts of the marketing process is to find out who my customer is and connect with them. So that's just one of the pieces that's the most fun to me, so I enjoy doing that. But if you're going to
ask... One of the things that you talk about, one of the things that I hear you talk about quite often is knowing your connection type and knowing the connection type of the person you're interacting with.
Right.
What does that mean, and how do you do that?
About 3 years ago, I was doing some consulting, and I would ask my clients, what's your passion in life? And 99.9% of the time, there was just silence. Sometimes somebody came up with something close, but most of the time, there would be I don't know what my passion is. And I thought it'd be cool if there was some sort of test that you could take to ascertain that. Upon further exploration, I thought, my gosh, there's so many variables involved in passion. How could you create a test? And think of Hurricane Katrina. People who were couch potatoes 1 minute saw that event on television and became superheroes the next, flying down, rebuilding homes, rescuing people. So how could you write a test for that? And I almost gave up. But somebody encouraged me to continue. And so I interviewed a host of people who appeared to be living their passion and dissected that passion down to the core motivation, why they loved to do what they did. I was really astonished that everybody's answers fit into four different categories. So I created a little test called Step Into Destiny Test, where they could ascertain, you know, at least the core, where their passion springs from. And the step from Step Into Destiny stands for the four types. The S is service, the T is truth, the E is empathy, and the P is potential. And connecting types, or connecting strengths, actually come, I think, from these core passion types. The service tends to connect with people via their personal history and life details. Once they've got almost a genealogy connection with you, you're good. You're in tight with them. The truth, folks often will connect through a cause or sharing their opinions. An empathy person connects through feelings, and a potential person connects with others based on what are your dreams? What are you good at? What are your strengths? So,
could you be some of all four?
Oh, yes. Everybody has the ability to do all four to some capacity, but usually one brings out the most delight. And my grandmother was a service. If somebody came to the door, I mean, she would invite you in, arms open wide, and you always had to talk to the person and make a connection. And then because she was from the South, you had to ask them three times if they wanted something to eat, at least three times. So I remember when my mom passed away, the gentleman from the funeral home came to Granny's house to deal with some of the arrangements. And the first thing she asked him when he comes in and sits down, even in this moment of grief, she says, "So where are you from? Where's your family from?" And you know, she was reared in the area, knew a lot of people, and chances were, you know, she knew somebody. You knew somebody who was kin to you. So the guy says, "Well, I'm from Camargo." And she says, "Well, you know, we used to have a sawmill in Camargo. Tell me some of your family's names." And honest to goodness, she knew some of the people that were his grandparents, great-grandparents, she had the connection with. And from that moment on, he was a good boy. She liked him.
I go to a
Bible study, and it's about 21 ladies, and I would say almost all of them, if not all of them, are services. They have that gift. And when I first went, we were at a restaurant, and all these ladies gathered around the table, and my little section of the table, the questioning starts. "So, Lisa, are you from around here?" "Oh, yes, I knew her mama." And they start talking about mom. "Yeah, don't you remember her dad did this? And why, your grandfather used to be the sheriff of Jessamine County, didn't he?" "I remember that." And from that moment on, they adopted me into their circle, just like I had been there forever. Very powerful connection when you connect based on personal history. Now, my friend Paul is a truth connector, and it doesn't matter if it's something political, a national, a local issue. He's got an opinion on how to make things better, how to make things fair and right, and he's going to share those opinions. Doesn't matter if they're controversial or not. And the conversation may get a little bit lively and a little bit of debate going on, but he wants to know and connect with you based on what do you think about this?
Uh-huh.
That's a powerful way to connect for the truth people. Now, the opposite of that, my friend Carol is a connector through feelings, and she's an empathy. So her writing is filled with encouragement and joy. And something, anything to make somebody feel better. People feel drawn to her and her understanding nature. She's very expressive and exudes compassion. She wants to connect with people based on how they feel. I'm a potential connector, and I tend to focus on a person's individuality, their potential, their self-awareness, what are their dreams, what are their epiphanies, what did you just discover about your life. So everybody has your own style, and when you connect through your emails, your website copy, your blog posts, your Facebook marketing, all of it, when you connect from who you are, people are going to be very attracted to you.
Cool. I'm loving this. This is really interesting. And let me just mention, people can find that at stepintodestiny.com. And I've also just added it to the show notes.
And does it matter what kind of person you're talking to?
Yes.
Does their connection type matter?
Gina, I think it depends on what where you're coming from. If you're positioning yourself online as a trusted advisor, as somebody who can, you know, really has a lot of the answers and shortcuts for people, then it's kind of a personality-based marketing. They're attracted to you because they just connect with you. So when you connect through your emails and through your website, it's just something that draws them in. Conversely, if you're doing a lot of websites, like maybe you're a niche marketer and you have a dog training site, a homeschooling site, a gardening site, a motorcycle site. You may want to focus on the personality or core passion of that site in general and write to them, connecting through their language. Any niche that you come up with is going to have people of all types in it, right? But
of course,
some of them,
right.
I think some of them have their own little type. For instance, gardening. You got it basically a hands-on group, love the feel of the dirt, transplanting, bringing in the harvest. They're very tactile, in tune with their environment and nature. And they're often detail-oriented and love tips on how to save time. So gardening also has this family feel to it. So you might talk about a little bit about your family in your emails to bring that connection in. If I was going to write an email about trying to send somebody back to a blog post that I had on my gardening site, I might say, when I was a little girl, my grandmother took my brother and I to the garden almost every day during planting and harvesting season. And my brother and I would plant beans, pick beans, throw dirt clods at each other, feed the pigs. So I learned a lot about gardening techniques from my grandmother. But there's one lesson that stands clearer than all others. My grandmother taught me more than just how to rotate crops and how to get a bigger tomato harvest. And I want to share that main lesson that my brother and I both spoke about in our eulogy, at her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is. And then send them back to the site. So you see, in that email, which I'm writing from my heart, I'm connecting through, I'm assuming that this gardening is a basic service group that loves to connect through personal history. So I'm sharing some of my personal history and how important that is to me, how important family is to me. You see all that in that email. So in general, I think that would drive that market to the blog to see what was the greatest lesson.
How do you know what your market's connection type is? Is there any way of identifying that?
Gina, you're marvelous at encouraging people to uncover every detail about their market possible. You know, you got to know what your market is thinking, what they dream about at night, what toothpaste they use when they get up in the morning. But in general, I think hands-on kinds of niches, quilting, scrapbooking, cooking, woodworking, in general, would draw people to you, you know, if you were connected with them based on personal history, succinct bullet points, old-time wisdom and tips that have stood the test of time. So you kind of look and see, is this a real hands-on market? Let me try connecting with them through personal history. If we contrast that with a self-help niche, in general, excuse me just a moment. Self-helpers are more cerebral. I'm not saying they're not hands-on, but they tend to be a group more in tune with their feelings and with their personal strengths and weaknesses, and they've just got this longing for their potential to be realized. It's an internal potential, not something that can be externally measured. So when writing to a self-help audience, you can establish a connection with their dreams, their visions, their goals, their personal mission. You can use metaphors and imagery to spark their creativity. So connecting with them based on their individual potential, encouraging them to explore and risk and dream, is something that just tugs at their heartstrings and brings them to your website. I think a market made up of primarily mothers will likely, in general, be drawn to marketers who connect with them based on their feelings. So let's say you have a homeschooling list. I'd connect with them based on nurturing their children, helping them feel embraced, because homeschooling requires a lot of sacrifices, and it's very stressful. So to try to make them feel cared for and encouraged and uplifted in their mission. I want to show them that I really understand their frustrations, and I really want to help them. And I may even just share some inspirational stories about children who've overcome some learning difficulties. And that's the kind of stuff that draws them back to your website. If you're connecting with an audience based around truth or a cause, and a lot of audiences that are just men, like, you know, maybe a classic car collecting or motorcycle or, you know, male bodybuilding. I'm not saying that just men like motorcycles, but, you know, just in a broad overview, then a lot of them are cause connectors. And so you talk about your opinion about something, whether they agree with you or not, they're likely to connect and come back to share their opinion.
Uh-huh.
So knowing the general personality of your niche or core passion type of your niche, I think helps establish that crucial trusting relationship with them.
And one of the things that's really important, knowing the connection type that your niche happens to be is really important. But I think it's also equally important, no matter who your audience is, to really be yourself. Isn't that true?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And the one thing that I know Rhonda is passionate about is really telling stories. And the way that you be yourself and the way that you identify with your audience, regardless of their connection type, is through stories.
Yes.
How does that play out in the work that you do and in your business and the way that you communicate with people?
I have an interesting history around that. When I first started marketing and about 2 years into starting marketing, I had to developed a list and was communicating with them. And people would often say to me, "Lisa, I know you're writing to thousands of people, but I tell you, I feel like you're just writing to me. And thank you so much." And I'd send out an email, and I might get a dozen or even 20 responses to that email. So when Instant Niche Emails was created and went live, it was like an overnight success that I'd worked 3 years for. So, you know, it was just a wonderful time. And I would come home or drive from my house to my grandmother's, who lived about 5 minutes away, and I'd say, "Gran, we're up to $30,000. And I'm so serious, she would kick up her heels in her recliner and say, "Hallelujah. You go, girl. So I go back home and I come back, "Granny, we're up to $40,000. And she was just so excited. Well, 12 weeks after launching Instant Niche Emails, my grandmother had an allergic reaction to a medication and passed away. Oh. It was one of those things where, during the hard times, I had spent my teacher retirement on marketing education and was quite a bit in debt. And Gran was supporting the two of us on our $642 Social Security check every month. And for this to happen was huge. And so I told my grandmother, I'm buying you a new carpet. No, 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 don't you spend your money on me. Yes, I brought her the samples. She picked one out, and they were going to lay the carpet on, I think it was the 13th, and the funeral was the 11th of December of 2005. Calling to cancel that appointment was one of the most devastating phone calls for me. And then I fell into a very dark depression. And I didn't know how to communicate with my list anymore, because almost every day was spent in a fetal position sobbing. Mm-hmm. I had two counselors. Yeah, I was getting a lot of help, but her loss was huge, and it highlighted some other losses that I had just never emotionally taken care of. So all of that was being dealt with, and I stopped communicating with my list because I didn't know what to say. I shared stories about my nieces and funny things they said and little marketing tips that I've gotten from, you know, when they were preschoolers. How kids can teach you so much. But then I couldn't even go to my brother's house and communicate. So I didn't have any more of those stories. And I wasn't going to say, spent my day crying today, how are you? How about this product?
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, the grief really took it out of your ability to be able to see those little, things that the cousins did or whatever, because of just being in that space. It really did rock your world.
It totally. Everything was a spiral down there for a minute. Now, healing was occurring, but,
uh-huh.
To the natural eye, it did not appear
right
to be that way. So I lost connection. And I did what I thought I would never, ever do. And that's just send out affiliate emails for other people's products. And actually rarely sent those out. I just could not bring myself to have the energy to compose an email. Then I had to start all over.
Uh-huh.
Rebuilding, trying to reconnect. And by that time, a lot of changes had been made online. Now there was social media to learn about. And it's been a huge challenge to come out of that place. But I feel that I have a lot more to communicate now, having overcome 3 years of fetal position and 2 additional years of healing beyond that. So it's a good space to be.
And the new internet today is one that lends itself to relationship marketing even more than the internet from a few years ago.
Oh, it certainly does. Video. Gosh. Back in the day it was just emails, and now there's a spider web from emails coming out with, how many social bookmarking kinds of sites are out there?
Tens of thousands.
So,
there you go.
Yeah, way too many.
But the principles that you know with regard to email apply on all of those social sites, too. Stories
yes.
are as important or even more important than ever on these sites, right?
Absolutely. And
that's the best part about it, in my opinion. I mean, I love the new internet in this Web 2.0 world that we live in, because of the fact that whole relationship marketing world is more powerful than ever in this Web 2.0 world that we live in today. It really is.
It also kind of is more short, sweet, and to the point.
Yeah, and that's the downside of it. That's the downside of it. You got to tell short stories, not long stories.
That's true. So I
and
think
it even
it's
shows.
More important.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's even more important to know the connecting style of your market.
I think so too, because you got to do it quick.
Yeah, each of those words has to hold a lot of power, you know?
Pretty
yeah, really does.
Connect heart to heart in 140 characters or less. But it can be done, and there are people doing it every single day.
That's great.
But that's the world we live in today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Very different.
So how does that change your message?
It doesn't change my core message.
Yeah.
Because my core message is still, I want to create something for people, a space in which they feel safe, full of hope, encouraged, where, I mean, it sounds a little bit ironic, but the bombardment of their day, that they would come to the computer to have some release from bombardment. But
yeah.
I think you can create a space where literally inside of their heart they're feeling the hand grasp. And they're saying, oh, I love to come to this site. This site makes me feel so encouraged. And you know one of my favorite blogs? Wow. If I remember the name. But you may know the story. Stephanie Nielsen and her husband were burned severely in a plane accident. And I think it's Nini's blog or anyhow, if you Google Stephanie Nielsen, you'll go to her blog. And it's her story of coming out of being burned over 80% of her body and the reactions of her little children to what mommy now looks like. And just she shares her heart over and over. That blog is so addictive. But this woman now is speaking all over the world, and she's got videos, and people are just connecting with, oh, my gosh, look. So inspired about what she's been through and where she's come. If somebody doesn't have a niche or doesn't know what they want to do, I tell you, if you've overcome something or you're going through something, you don't have to have come to the end where you know you've mastered it all. I talked to a friend yesterday. She's I would say mid 60s, and her husband has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And she said, "I want to create a blog that shows what we're going through, the tips that I've learned that, you know, help us through this stage and that stage. And it will be cathartic for me, and it will also minister to other people who are going through this very thing." I think some of those blogs are some of the most powerful pieces of cyberspace out there.
And when you do connect to people at that level, it also, if you're really serving them, if you're really connecting to them the way that you're talking about doing it, they want to buy the things that you're telling them about.
Oh,
they
yeah.
want them even more. And in fact, many times, if you're not offering them something to purchase, you're really not serving them well.
Mm.
If you know about something that they really need, that they really have to have, then you really have to tell them about it, don't you? You have a duty to, almost.
You do, and sometimes it's a little foreign to those of us who marketing is not our primary language, it's a secondary language.
Yes.
Because some people can feel a little nervous about selling. But when you approach it from, oh, my gosh, look at all you've learned. We need other people to tell us that, because we're waking up with our own selves day after day after day. And sometimes we don't see the gifts we have because they're so close to us. So when somebody else says, oh, my gosh, look at the knowledge you've gained through this experience, how can you not share how you overcome and hold tight and don't commit suicide when you're depressed? How can you not share that? You know, you've got to be creating these products for people, because it's part of your legacy. It's part of the mission that's going to change the world from your little spot.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just powerful. That's great. So true.
Well, now I'm encouraged to go create some products there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
But, you know, I think if people really got in touch with what you just said, and that feeling of you've got something, it's so powerful, people really need it. It might, I mean, you know, we try to do that all the time, is help people get past that sense that, oh, I'm afraid of creating this thing or whatever, and really get into that, this people need this. You are, by offering this product and bringing the solutions to people, you are changing lives, maybe saving lives, doing great things, and giving people solutions so that they can have a great life instead of being in miserable pain all the time. And that's really what it is. When somebody has a problem that's keeping them up or causing them to gnash their teeth, toss and turn in bed, and chug antacids, their life is not great. And the products that you create, and whatever your niche happens to be, are going to help them get to that greater life, that greater sense of ease and fulfillment and whatever it is that you're delivering, and they need it.
And you don't have to wait until you've mastered something. I believe Stephanie Nielsen's website is NIENIEDialogues.com. And, you know, she started her blog. She wasn't even close to being healed from her physical scars. And she shared the pain. Every time she went to the doctor, what they did, how painful it was. You see her ups and downs emotionally. She is raw at this blog. But, man, does it create the connection. So, you know, just because you're a trusted advisor doesn't mean that you have to, that you can't be authentic and say, today was a really hard day. Tomorrow's going to be better, but today was tough.
Uh-huh. Excellent. And that type of thing will never change, that sense of building through relationships, no matter, even though the messages are shorter, and now there's more video than ever and all of those types of things. So that piece is not going to change.
Absolutely. That's a foundational forever and ever amen.
That's awesome. I'm just going back to look at our notes. You know, the other thing I hear you talk about is the five love languages and how important they are in your marketing. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are the five love languages, and why do you need to use them in your marketing?
Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages changed my life. It was one of the most brilliant books I've ever read. And as far as literal life changers, it's the top, in the, my top two. My ability to connect with other people changed dramatically after I read that book. And the five love languages that Gary Chapman talks about are gift-giving, quality time, physical touch, words of encouragement, and acts of service. And his theory is that when you, quote-unquote, speak this kind of language to another person, you can really show that you cherish, respect, and love that person, and they get it. It's like you're speaking their language. when I taught elementary school, one of the things that we did was a little unit on the five love languages, and the children would all ascertain what was their primary and secondary language. And we had these little work folders, and everyone had a chart of all the kids in the class, all of their classmates, and their primary and secondary language. And they knew that if their friend was having a bad day, or they came in looking sad, or they just didn't seem to be themselves one day, they could go right to their name, right to their love language, and we talked about how they could speak that love language to help their classmate be built up and encouraged and feel honored. It was such a powerful tool that would just change the chemistry of the classroom. Kids felt empowered, like, oh, wow, I've got a little tool here that I can use to help somebody feel better, or even somebody they didn't like very much. They might take the risk of speaking that person's love language. Say the person was gift-giving, and they just did something as simple and said, hey, I got an extra pencil.
I thought you might want me. My connection keeps going in and out, Wanda, or is it Lisa?
Hello?
Lisa's strong. I hear. I don't have a problem with the connection for Lisa.
Oh, Gina, we can't be losing connection here.
No, definitely not. No, I was hearing her just fine on my end, so I don't know. Sometimes technology is a little unique, isn't it? So Lisa, that is... See, I see the five love languages. That's really made a huge impact on your life and on your business, for sure.
Yes, and you can use those love languages in your marketing, because it really shows that you care about others and you want to serve and care for them, you know, from your heart.
See, mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say, okay, let's do this in some hypnotic, reel them in sales letter, back
oh, of course.
Down their wallet through their love language. You know, no, not
yeah.
at all, not at all. You can't fool people into thinking you care when you don't. You have to approach it all from a space of, you know, if my product will bless somebody, then that is marvelous. I want it to be in their hands. If it's not going to be a blessing to them at this time, and another product will glory be, you know, that's fine. So some of the things that you can do when you're writing your copy, when you're writing your emails, is to use phrases that connect with those love languages, like, my gift to you,
uh-huh.
or sending a warm hug, or here's a high five. I've spent the last 3 days working on a product that I want to give to you for free. That kind of touches a couple of them there, you know.
Uh-huh.
But there, those short little phrases are so powerful in making a difference in that connection. You'd think it would be harder, but if you read the book Five Love Languages and you just jot down some of those key phrases, I believe you'll see a huge difference in the way your market responds to you. Because if a marketer of all people relays the message that you are worthy of honor and respect, and what you need is what I'm here. You know, I'm here to serve you. That's huge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that really is. And so each of those five has some core phrases that would touch that type. And so naturally, people are going to come with a different love language. But if you cover each of the five in your messages, you're suggesting that you're going to touch everybody in the way that's meaningful to them.
Yes. I find it difficult to use all five in one email.
Yeah, I think that would be a little giddy.
but it's easy to use two.
Yeah.
And so you might, you know, say, okay, Monday I'm going to connect with physical touch and words of encouragement. This is going to go real well together in this email. Next day, you know, oh, quality time. I want to emphasize that I just love this time where I can sit down and write an email and connect with you. It is time that's very valuable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think two per email works well. But I've never been able to write all five in an email that worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would really be like a little, you know, very over the top, too much. Are there any two that do not seem to blend well of the five love languages?
You know, I
am so sorry, ladies. I kept getting my signal lost. Are you guys still here?
Yes,
we're here.
We've been just chatting away.
Let me see if I can find you. I just don't get my signal lost again. Let me try and get.
Yeah, let me see what's happening here. I can still hear you just fine, Lisa.
Okay. It's all that sunshine in Florida.
Yeah.
Messing up the signal.
Right. Yeah, apparently there's just so much love bouncing off the walls here.
Yeah, our little 40-degree temperatures up here.
Yeah, I know it's rainy and blah, a little cold over here, but yeah, we'll take that liquid sunshine, right? So
I am so sorry, guys. I kept getting cut off. All of a sudden, my phone goes from 5 bars to no cell signal. So hopefully you guys were able to continue in my absence.
Yes, we've been chatting away. I just instant messaged you what we were chatting about, but yeah, we were talking five love languages, and I was just asking Lisa, are there any of the two, she talked about combining, speaking to two of those languages in one email, certainly not going to three, four, or five, but are there any two that do not seem to mix very well in the emails that you send, the messages?
I feel like they all work wonderfully together.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your message, sometimes it's easier to put one thing in over another. So, yeah, but I don't think that any two are like sandpaper for each other.
Right.
They're all ways to connect and say you're important, and I really truly do care about you. Even though you're not sitting here in my living room and I'm not face to face with you, my heart is still in a place where I want the best for you.
Uh-huh.
So let me ask you a tough question. If you've never known that there were such a thing as connection types, and you never heard about the five love languages before, and all of this stuff is new to you, is there ever a bad point to start using it in your business, or should you just jump in with both feet and from today on start using it immediately?
Go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel right now.
There you go. What a great answer. I love that answer.
Go in the water, jump in with everything
you
got.
I love that. Go in the Niagara Falls in a big barrel. That's great.
So how do you really feel?
Yeah, just glail out there, baby.
Too funny. And the best way to get started with figuring out your connection type so you can use this is to go to stepintodestiny.com and take the test that's on Step Into Destiny, right, Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my suggestion. And definitely get the book, The Five Love Languages. And if you're a person who's intimidated by the writing process and a little concerned about, oh, yikes, how do I really relate to my market through writing, you could look at instantnicheemails.com and see if that's a product that would fit for you as well.
Yeah,
that is awesome. And while it's called Instant Niche Emails, you can use it to write blog posts, write emails, write articles. You can use it for a lot of different things, not just for writing emails, right?
Right.
Yeah,
but it's all
absolutely
geared toward establishing.
Tell me I did not get lost again.
You're here.
I hear you, Gina. I don't know if you hear me, but I hear you. And you'll find those links. you'll find those links in our show notes, because I see that we're drastically running out of time here. And Lisa, you and I get together, we're always laughing. We got on the phone the other day and we're just cutting a rug there. It was fun. And it's been so phenomenal to talk with you today.